Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. If you've never listened to my show, you can head on over to the show blog to learn more, which is getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. I'm here every Wednesday at 9, and I've been here a while, since 2011, actually, doing this show. I want to tell you a little bit about my first guest, who is standing by. Jacqueline Gay Wally has called in to talk about her new book, The Wah. I want to tell you a little bit about it. She has taken us on this journey. It's an enthralling world of the Wah, and it's a masterful tale that weaves together mystery and suspense and the haunting beauty of the human spirit. This is a captivating novel following the journey of its unforgettable protagonist as they navigate a landscape marked by hidden truths and profound revelations. With Wally's exquisite prose and deft storytelling, The Wah invites readers to explore the depths of resilience and the power of uncovering one's own destiny. This book is perfect for fans of literary fiction that lingers long after the last page. The Wah is a must-read addition to your collection. It is out now, and she's here to join us. Good morning, Jacqueline. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on your book. I know it just came out in June, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Fantastic. So let's take a look back. How did this whole idea come about for this book?
Well, I wrote it during COVID, so, you know, I was landlocked,
yes.
And so I decided to take a trip, which I did in the book. And I also was very interested in the whole concept of nomads, the concept of people who are not in the mainstream, that are sort of, I don't mean that they're sort of hippies or whatever, but, mm-hmm. but they're people who are individualists, and that they can't, as I say in the book, can't be colonized. And mm-hmm. there are often artists like this. So you could say Henry Miller was one, Nietzsche, various types of artists. And they have to wait for their time in a certain way. And I was interested in these kind of people. And so I created a sort of a world where she's exploring that whole kind of thinking.
I love that. And this is your eighth novel?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. When did you first start writing? Years and years ago?
Yeah, I think in my mid-30s I started writing.
Oh, okay.
I dabbled before that, but I was sort of more interested in playing around before my mid-30s. And then I got serious about it and began then.
Do people say this sounds like Eat, Pray, Love?
Nobody has said that. Do you think it does? Oh, because she goes off on a journey.
Yes.
Do all those journeys.
To find
yeah.
herself, and yes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, most books are a journey of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is different than Eat, Pray, Love. I don't know why, but
yeah,
I do.
No, mm-hmm. no it yeah. is. It just reminds me of going off on that journey and
yeah.
trying to find
yeah.
yourself. But yeah. yes, vastly yeah. different. So tell us about the process for writing this book, because I know... As myself, I'm a writer, and
okay.
in the pandemic, mm-hmm. you know, I had a lot of different creative thoughts. But did you have this all mapped out, or as you were writing, did it
evolve? No. As some books that I've written, I do have a very good idea of what I'm doing. This book, I just went with it,
mm-hmm.
and it's sort of. I won't say it wrote itself, but I just stayed. I went into that state of mind that the Wah is,
mm-hmm.
It just came. You know, all of it sort of came to me, and I sort of lived in the world. I mean, in some senses, the pandemic was great for that, because you really could go into yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
You're in New York, aren't you?
Yeah, I can hear it. I'm sorry about that.
No,
I'm not
please
being,
don't apologize.
I'm not being arrested.
No,
yeah.
no. You're like, I'll yeah. be right back in 10 years. No, I grew up in Manhattan, so that's a familiar
okay.
sound, yes, and I was just
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So tell us the name, The Wah. How did you decide
yeah.
on that?
Yeah, well, in the Wah is what the sub-Saharan nomads call the ultimate oasis, and they know it doesn't really exist. but it's kind of where we're all longing for. And the book is based on this concept of she goes off to a vision that she's longing for and lives out, and it leads her somewhere. And the nomads are always in movement, back and forth, and they have their own sources, and they have a sort of a network between them. And even though this has nothing to do with the Sub-Saharan Desert, the book, and nothing to do with actual nomads, but I wanted her to go off and find new sources and a new network and travel mm-hmm. in her mind.
Mm-hmm. Did you integrate a lot of your backstory into the book?
Some of it, yeah. Yeah, I did, yeah. Well, as you know, she is having a collection of her work being published, and it bothers her that she's going to be exposed like that. And that was going on for me when I wrote the book. But the whole concept of England and the characters in the book are made up.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
So would you like to read a little bit of the book if you have a copy in front of you?
I do.
Okay.
That's interesting. I didn't know you were going to ask me that.
If you don't have to, if you don't want to.
Do people like listening to reading? I mean, I've often wondered about that. I find it always hard to follow.
All right, you don't have to. You don't have to.
I mean, I can read the very beginning.
That would be great.
You know, I'll read. Maybe I can read a little bit of here and there.
Okay.
Actually, I'll do that. I'll read a little bit of here and there in the book, just a paragraph here and a paragraph there, but it'll give a flavor of
yes,
the book.
Yes,
yes. I can find a sheet of it. Sorry. I can't find it, so I'll read this. The beginning of chapter one goes, which is sort of what I just said, there are people who do not settle in one place, but are like the nomadic tribes of the desert who long for the Wa, the ultimate oasis where they will finally be home. Until then, they are on the move, taking sustenance from one little oasis to another, following the bird songs of the desert for messages, and they know in their souls the Wa does not really exist, but they hold knowledge of it in their hearts, like a true love one does not ever let go of. I found myself that late afternoon on a type of cliff over the sea under a British or French or Scottish gray sky, looking at a small town with steeples and small stone houses close together, maybe even a bit like arriving in French Canada on a ship, now that I think about it. Montreal, where I grew up and did arrive on a ship, but at 1 year old, because I come from nomads myself who searched for their oasis in the new land and also never found Wa, but they did live interesting nomadic lives in which they never settled. They danced and they loved and they found intermittent wells and they kept on moving their whole lives. My British father dying in San Diego and my Austrian mother returning at the end of her life to London, where she'd run to from Palestine, where she had run to from Europe, and now back to London in her old age, my current age, to a man she loved her whole life. He had been married and she had accepted this love as an oasis, perfect for a nomadic soul, perhaps, but his wife unexpectedly died and then he came to get my mother to settle with him. Maybe she did find her Wa then, although she was losing her mind on the second trip of her life to London. The heat of her travels in and not ever being settled, and the endlessness of it, perhaps even the memories of what happened to her family in Europe, having burned her in some way. I stood there recognizing this town by the sea I was looking at, but did not know from where or when it had lodged inside me, but it was my Wa. I had somehow found it. The sea was dark beneath the rocks I stood on, and I looked to one side of me, and for some reason imagined the sight of dead bodies and fishing gear floating next to me. It was strange, of course, but somehow I knew it had something to do with the turning of life. In my own nomadic travels, the desert for me has always been the sea, and the sea does harbor fishermen, fishers of souls, as the Bible calls it. So I was not frightened at the image because the vision passed so quickly, which told me that I was not ready to join them. To my other side stood a tall, slender man, a new friend I had made with not many words, but who looked over, too, at the town, but steadily, and I deemed he must live there. We beheld our sight and took in all it was telling us and shared without words that we understood that this was a place where depths could live. As I say, it may have been his home, but I did not want to ask such a thing because these are not topics for conversation. But standing next to him for me was also home because I think anyone who knew this place, never mind lived in it, and I think he did, knew something of meaning that was not to be found in my other life, on the internet, on emails demanding I respond to endless questionnaires, which I never do, and the constant chatter of exterior matters. I would not say that my other life is attending of camels, but I would say it is a preoccupation with tending. I stood there overlooking this place that was quiet but happy, it seemed, as the clouds broke a bit and a sliver of sunlight hit one of the aluminum-covered steeples. It seemed it was beckoning me. "It's all right," the light seemed to indicate. "Cross over and let's," as William Carlos Williams once wrote, "begin to begin again." And
thank,
so,
thank you. That was great.
The that's kind of all narration. Once she gets to the island, of course, she meets all the characters, and then it goes into much more dialogue.
It's so interesting how you wrote this during the pandemic, because there was this sense of longing to be somewhere else, and we were trapped.
Yeah, and we were also, I think, you know, I think we were thinking about many things that we usually don't have time to think about.
Oh,
you
yes.
know, what is the wall for us? What is meaningful for us? And what is what are our connections? And what are you know, I think we got a pause to really look at that for a bit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, who am I? Am I really happy? If I'm not happy, what am I going to do about it? And dreaming of you know, different places. I saw this silly joke where a husband and wife say to one another, "Okay, I'm going to throw this dart on this to this map, and wherever it lands, this is where we're going to go when the pandemic is over." And the dart lands behind the refrigerator. And the wife's like, "Great, I have to go behind the refrigerator and clean."
Exactly.
You know, but there was this longing, and I felt like you really captured that. I love how you did this during the pandemic.
Yeah, and but it's a journey into, you know, she changes. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I also say in the book somewhere, you know, she's looking for unexplored places, but she's really looking for unexplored places in herself.
Yes, that's the sense I got. Yeah.
Yeah.
You focus on renewal.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Vis-a-vis the book?
Yeah.
Well, the character has a so-so relationship in New York, and she goes off, and she never really knows. She's asked all the time, "Why are you here?" And she gives different answers. At first, it's the sort of the wisdom that we get in silence. Then it's this and that, and she's sort of peeling away at the things that are distracting from herself. That, you know, she's kind of affected by the chaotic, I don't take any sides or anything, but the chaotic politics we live in. And I don't mean, I'm not even talking about the election, but just the whole way we, you know, we all hear the news in a certain sense. And she's affected by exterior things. And she slowly divests herself of all of that by meeting these people that are just so profound in their own different ways and so much themselves and have such depth to her. And so she gets renewed by this, and she begins to unpack new parts of herself through their not blatant encouragement, but just through their being people that understand that we all change and we have a need to change and we have a need to grow through beauty, through music, through doing something new. And she meets a man there, and she has to, and he himself, I think his wife has left him, and he himself has some fear of relationship. She has fear of relationship. Her boyfriend visits and things happen. And then she begins to risk more in life. And it's not that she gives up her New York life, so to speak. She still works, and in the end, you kind of get the feeling she will live both lives.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about going places that you're scared of in yourself.
Oh yeah, I also felt, and you kind of touched on this, it's being open to the unexpected people you meet and their perspectives, because I have often found this in my life, like meeting someone unexpectedly and being open to their wisdom. Has happened to me repeatedly, and it's changed me. It's changed a direction I've gone in my career. I remember meeting an older actress at a Syracuse University alumni lunch, and She said, I can tell you're not happy in the work you're doing. You're young. Why are you staying? You know, you're too young to be stuck. And and just being open to that.
Yes. And there's, I don't want to give away to your audience's storyline, but there is an older man who she becomes friends with, and he, well, all of them kind of give her, in a way, in a very indirect British way, and I think it's interesting I said it in England, because the thing about the British is that they say things without saying things. Do you know what I mean? They infer. You know, it's not like you sit down and you get a lecture. That's kind of his innuendo, and there's a certain poetry to that. So, you know, I agree with you. And she changes, and she finds her wall, so to speak.
Yes.
She, and the other thing is she follows a vision. And, you know, there's something to be said, you know, when your unconscious delivers you something, it actually is setting you in motion.
Oh, definitely. I agree.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Gilbert wrote that book, one of the, her amazing books, Big Magic. Have you read that?
Yeah. Yeah, I did, I think. Yeah.
I remember the story where I think she said she had written something and then she tucked it away, and the next thing she knew, she was with somebody and they mentioned like the same story, and she said,
yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like things will pass you by if you let them. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. No, you have to follow your, I mean, you know, everybody says this, but so my book is an example of someone who follows her inner voice, kind of her inner, and something good happens. Actually, the dedication in the book, I'll read that because I think that's more the theme. In a funny way, it says, this book is dedicated to all those who believe there is always something good out there for them, and it just takes saying yes.
No, I love that.
You know, so I think that's a lot of what, you know, a lot happens in the book, but that sums it up in a sentence.
I also feel like, I know for me, I say no too many times to things, whether it's an experience or fear holds me back, or so this is definitely an opportunity to say yes more.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, for all of us, when we do say yes, something new happens. It may not always be what you expect, and it may not be, but this is how we grow and change and develop and encounter surprises that are good for us.
Yes.
You know, and so the book is really about that.
Did you feel when you finished this book that you were changed in some way?
It's a really interesting question, Janine. Yeah, I did. I'm surprised by that. And that's not true of any other book I wrote. In other books, you know, I take topics and I'm working through their stories, you know, and that can be very interesting and all of the above. This book, I really went on a psychic journey with it, and It did change me in some way. I actually believe that the writing the book is sort of like going to the island. So in a certain way, I've been changed by the book in some way that I'm a little bit more open to anything can happen.
Yes. I am so fascinated by writers' journeys, and I know I talk a lot about flow state. And did you feel like you just got into the zone? And how did you get into your zone for people wanting to write?
I think when you're, and it's not only in the wall that I got in the zone. If I'm writing a novel that turns out well, I am in a zone. And I think the zone is feeling, in this particular case, I loved this imagined place I have made up in England, and I loved the characters I created. And I loved the journey she was on of risking getting close to somebody and all of the above. In other books, I maybe have written about somebody I was at the time smitten with. I maybe, but love, in a way, acts as a kind of fluid to the pen, so to speak. You know, that whether it's for a place or whether it's for a person or whether it's for a belief, and whether it's for something you want to an idea that you want to put forth, the love actually puts you in a fluid state, I think, or flow, as you call it.
Sure. I was fascinated to your choice to make some of your chapters, like 58 and 10, for instance, they're like five lines.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Was that hard? Like, was your editor thinking, did you miss something? Or were you, was it just your bold choice and you thought, this is fine, let's leave it at this?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. And actually, I had lunch with my editor, I don't know, about a month ago, and he said I didn't have to change a word.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. What a compliment.
So basically, yeah, he went along with, in this case, it is flow. Yeah, it just seemed right. Mm-hmm. I think in a way a lot is said in this book economically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's a lot of themes, it sounds pretentious for me to say wisdom, but a lot of sort of philosophic thought or a lot of ideas. Mm-hmm. Are set economically and in a hopefully interesting way, and so I was free to do it that way.
No, I agree. I felt like certain pages were concise and less was mm-hmm. more.
Mm-hmm.
And you can mm-hmm. say a lot in, you know, a few words.
I don't really like verbose books anyway, and I think we're living in a time where that's kind of certain, you know, gone the way of something. I mean, there's some great, great books, you know, that are long, but I'm not a person who likes, all my books have a certain, they're not long, and they're, there's a kind of, and I also like to experiment with style a bit.
Where does your sense of style come from?
Well, each book is a little bit different, but I mean, I tend to experiment. Well, it comes from actually what I'm writing about. So each book requires a different voice and mm-hmm. A different modality of writing.
Sure.
So it comes from what you're writing about, and it has to match.
Sure,
you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
And then I know you're also a filmmaker, right?
Yeah, film writer. I don't do
the actual
shooting
production.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
When did you get into screenwriting?
I think my second book that came out, I was contacted, they wanted to make a movie of it, and so I made a film script of that, and that was a movie, the first one, and then the next one, which is a more interesting story, and I actually think is a better film, was a director-producer contacted me, and I thought, oh, he wants to make a movie of one of my books, but that isn't what he wanted. What he wanted was, he came up and met with me, and he said, well, I want to make a movie, and I want you to be in it.
Mm.
I said, I'm not an actress. And he said, well, you're going to play the woman that you created. And then he said, what are you writing now? And at the time, I was writing a book about three ways of looking at love. You know, one is that where I love him more than he loves me. The next way is he loves me more than I love him. And the third was supposed to be, you know, where it works out.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, let's shoot it. And so I devised a script, and we shot it.
Mm.
And actually, that got into many film festivals, and it's on Amazon Prime, and, you know.
That's great.
And also, that it's called The Erotic Fire of the Unattainable. It's also about older people. You know, these aren't like 20-year-olds in it.
Yes.
And, say the least. And so it's watching love, older people, you know.
That's important
topic. They're not like, you know, they're happening people.
Yeah.
So that was a risk also.
Okay. And when did this come out?
That sadly did come out during the pandemic also. And so I only really attended live two film festivals, one in Paris and one in Pennsylvania that was in a baseball field because of the COVID. But it came out during COVID, if I recall.
Wow, you were busy during COVID.
Yeah, well, I mean, when it came out, I mean, that wasn't really my domain because that was director and producer. He was done with me, really.
Well, still.
I went with him to the two film festivals, but I didn't have to do any work.
All right. That's wonderful. So where can people find out more about you?
I have a website called www.gaywally.com.
Okay.
And my books are on Amazon, and if you, Jacqueline Gay Wally or Gay Wally, I think it'll lead you to the same place. And I think it's on Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
I think you can get it at a bookstore if you ask for it. I haven't seen it in a bookstore here, but who knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, great. And I want to thank you so much for calling in. I really enjoyed our conversation. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, and I enjoyed talking to you, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Be well.
Okay, you too. Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
That was Jacqueline Gay Wally calling in to talk about her latest book, The Wah. This is her eighth novel. She's also written plays and released two films. All her information is up on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. If you're not familiar with our programming here at KUCI, you can head on over to kuci.org. You can also follow our socials at KUCI FM. If you want to find out about being a guest on Get the Funk Out, you can send me an email to Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E, at KUCI.org. We're going to take a little break, and then we will be back. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.